Okay, and we are recording. I'll get my gavel out, make it official. And good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call this session of the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is July 28th, 2022 at 9 a.m. We actually have two items on the agenda at 9 o'clock. Both are for conditional use permits, but we are going to address the Peterson accessory dwelling unit matter first. And following that, we will then turn to the Puget Sound Kidney Center Silverdale CUP conditional use permit matter. So as to the first matter, this is number 2200537, involving a request for approval of a conditional use permit or CUP to allow construction of a 438 square foot accessory dwelling unit or ADU on a 0.34 acre residential property at 20710 Kitsap Street Northeast in the Indianola area of unincorporated Kitsap County. My name is Andrew Reeves. I'm a hearing examiner with Sound Law Center, and it is my role today to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether this proposal is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and the specific requirements for approval of a conditional use permit under section 17550.030 of the municipal code, and in addition, the special use provisions that are specific to ADUs under section 17410.060B of the municipal code. To that end, I received several exhibits in advance of the hearing that I had an opportunity to review. These have been identified as exhibits 1 through 22, but generally involve a staff report prepared by county staff, plan materials themselves, including a project narrative and site plan, information on utility availability for the ADU, information on stormwater and other impacts, technical information on such impacts, information on the notice that was provided in relation to the application, as well as today's hearing, information on the environmental review that occurred under our state's Environmental Policy Act, or SEPA, including the determination of non-significance, I believe it was, sorry, I don't have it right in front of me, or DNS that was issued by the county, although I think it may, no, I think it was a DNS, my apologies. And then finally, a staff presentation, I believe that we are going to have shared. So I'll admit those 22 exhibits into the record. Should anyone have additional exhibits they'd like admitted into the record, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I'll address admitting additional exhibits at that time. Speaking of testimony, our testimony this morning will be under oath or affirmation. That's because were my decision to be appealed under a state's Land Use Petition Act or LUPA. The recording of today's hearing, as well as the admitted exhibits and my decision, would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. Finally, the order that we are going to follow is first I'll swear in county staff who will give a brief overview and share their presentation related to the proposal and explain the review process that led us to today. Then traditionally we would next turn to the applicant. I don't believe we have an applicant here or applicant representative on this first matter, which, you know, isn't grounds to deny a permit, but ultimately I do stress that it is the applicant's burden in terms of convincing me, the hearing examiner, to issue approval for a permit. Not the county's burden, but so we would go to the applicant next, and then we'll see if there are any members of the public interested in testifying. We didn't receive any public comments related to this proposal in advance of the hearing, and I've been told there are no members of the public currently in the room, as far as I know, but we will check when we get to that point in the hearing to see if anyone has joined that is interested in testifying, and if so, they'll have that opportunity. Then following that, we would go back to county staff and the applicants, were there one, to provide any feedback or response. So with that, we'll go ahead and get started on this first matter. And again, for those that may have joined us later, we do have two items. I just want to note we are taking the second item related to the Puget Sound Kidney Center second. So this is the first item, the Peterson ADU. And with that, I'll go ahead and get county staff sworn in. So Carla Lundgren, thank you for being here. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in testimony you give here today?
Yes.
Thank you. And could you just clearly state and spell your name for the recording?
Carla Lundgren, C-A-R-L-A-L-U-N-D-G-R-E-N.
Okay. And your role here at the county?
I am a planner here at DCD.
Okay, great. Thank you. And did my explanation of sort of the exhibits you were hoping I would review in advance, did that track with what you had?
Yes.
Okay, go right ahead.
All right, thank you. Well, good morning. Today I'm presenting a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit in the rural residential zone. Let's see. There we go. The applicants are Anna and Matthew Peterson. The applicant proposes to construct a 483 square foot accessory dwelling unit. The property currently has an existing 972 square foot primary residence occupied by the owner and the applicant. The property also has a 276 square foot detached garage that will be demolished and rebuilt in the same footprint. And the proposed ADU will be attached to the new detached or the new replaced detached garage. According to the Kitsap County Assessor's website, the subject site is 0.34 acres. The proposal is conditioned to follow the requirements in the Kitsap County Code Title 17 zoning, specifically all requirements for ADUs in the Kitsap County Code 17410060B.3. The project will be conditioned for stormwater controls under pursuant to the Kitsap County Code Title 12. And now it's not going to work. It was working.
That's okay.
All right, we'll go on. Can you?
I was going to say, I can tell you the trick. If you can't get it to work, you can probably get Amanda Walston to take
it. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but next we'll go to the next one. Oh. There we go. Well,
I think so.
There we go. All right. There. Subject property is at 20710 Kitsap Street, Northeast in Indianola, which is in North Kitsap Commissioner District 1. A notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21 Land Use and Development Procedures, which provides recipients with project information and an opportunity for public comment. No comments were received by the department. Pursuant to WAC 197-11-355, the Department of Community Development used the optional DNS process for this project, and SEPA comment period previously occurred concurrent with the notice of application dated April 4th, 2022. The Department of Community Development issued a determination of non-significance on June 2nd, 2022. The SEPA appeal period expired June 16th, 2022. No appeals were filed, and therefore the SEPA determination is final. Next slide, please. The site is within the rural residential zone shown here in green. All the surrounding properties are zoned also rural residential. Zoning setbacks for the parcel are established in the Kitsap County Code Chapter 17-420. Due to this particular parcel not meeting the minimum lot width of 140 feet for the rural residential zone, the urban low residential setbacks were applied, which are 10-foot front setback to the west, a 5-foot side setback to the north and south, and 10-foot rear setback to the east. Next slide, please. The aerial photo shows development consistent with the residential, rural residential zone, single family homes and garage structures. Excuse me, the proposed ADU is consistent with the properties within the vicinity. The next slide will show you critical area map, and there are no critical areas mapped on this site. And finally, we will go over the special criteria per the Kitsap County Code 17410060B3. The special criteria, there are no other accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters on the property. The owner does reside in the primary residence. 50% of the primary residence would be 486 square feet. The proposal is for a 483 square foot ADU, so that's compliant with the size. The ADU is proposed to be within the 150 feet of the primary residence and actually only proposed to be 11 feet from the primary residence. The ADU will have a similar appearance of the primary residence. The lot does not meet the minimum lot width, which I just disclosed. and so therefore we use the urban low residential setbacks and not the rural residential. All health standards for water and sewer have been met and approved. The ADU is not an RV. And the ADU will be using the existing driveway off Kitsap Street Northeast. And a new concrete pad is proposed a little north of the driveway to meet the one additional parking space requirement. The next slide shows you the site plan for the proposal, showing the access coming from Kitsap Street to the shared driveway. And the you can see the existing residence and also the proposed ADU. West of the ADU is the garage that it will be attached to once the garage is demolished and replaced. The next slide shows you the floor plan for the existing SFR to that shows the square footage of the primary home to determine the allowable size for the ADU and also helps the our department determine whether or not there are any existing ADUs or accessory living quarters on the property. The floor plan for the ADU, 483 square feet, which is below the 50% requirement. The photos show on the next slide, the demonstrating the elevation and the style of the existing single family home. And the next set of photos show you the existing garage that will be demolished, replaced, and have the ADU attached to it. Finally, the actual drawings for the ADU elevations, and you can see there as well that the style is consistent with the single family residence. And our last slide shows the department's findings and recommendations that the department finds that the proposal is consistent with the comprehensive plan, compliant with the requirements of Kitsap County Code and all other applicable regulations, compatible with the characteristics of the subject property in the immediate vicinity and not materially detrimental. The department recommends approval with 26 conditions. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Lundgren. I do have just a few questions for you. I think you can stop sharing the slide, but I guess the first one was my understanding is that the municipal code has changed. There are new changes adopted or that came into effect just about a month ago today, I believe, June 28th. Clearly, this proposal would vest, but am I right that the actual 17410060B has been repealed at this point?
It has been. This application has been vested, but also the updates in the zoning table are applicable to urban areas and not rural residential areas.
Okay. Well, yes. So I understand that for this proposal, because it vests, I would be reviewing it under the provisions in the now repealed ordinance of 17410060B. I guess that just so that I have it in the back of my mind, because the ADUs are, you know, come up fairly regularly. Did that move somewhere else, or do you have to know? If you don't,
I don't know off the top of my head what the new section is.
Not a problem, but I'll look at it. But okay, so we do know the application was submitted and deemed complete in advance of those changes occurring. So not an issue, but I was just asking in case we happen to know the answer. So, okay, the other one, let's see, I had a question about, I think was, there's only going to ultimately be an 11-foot separation between the residence and the ADU/garage, but I think ultimately the fire department had no concern. Is that accurate?
Correct.
Okay. And then, let's see. There were several exhibits and maybe, well, I don't think we have an applicant, but there were several exhibits related to, you know, solar potential and rain gardens,
right.
conservation district letter that was unsigned. I'm assuming that's just materials that were in the file, but none of those materials are actually sort of required for my review. Is that accurate?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Just additional information.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. All right. Just checking here. And I think then that actually is all the questions I had for you on this first proposal. Do you have anything further you wanted to add before we see if there are any members of the public interested in participating on this first matter?
No, thank you.
Okay, and just to clarify that no one in the room specific to this first matter, I'm getting the shake of the head from our clerk. And then we do have several attendees on Zoom. Just see, normally I try to write the names down so that I know, but do we happen to know if any of these folks would be associated with the Peterson matter or likely all related to the next matter? And of course, somehow I didn't write those names down. Well, I guess we can check in with them real quick. So I have a David Harmson, or David from Harmson.
I think we've got everybody here for Kidney Center.
For the next
matter. For the next item.
Mm-hmm. I assumed as much, but okay. So we will move on then. So ultimately, I believe I have everything I need in terms of this first matter to produce a decision on the proposal. And so it is my intent to take what I heard from county staff today and further review of the exhibits and issue a decision on the Peterson CUP for an ADU involving a attached ADU to a detached garage. That was hard to say, but I will issue that decision here in the next 10 business days. So that'll conclude the first matter. The second matter, let me get my notes. And Ms. Lundgren, do you need a sec to grab water or anything? Or
yeah, if I could just have a minute or so to get my presentation ready. Thank you.
Let's do that. Not a problem at all. And while we're doing that, why don't we just check in with the folks that are attendees on Zoom just to get a sense of who might be wanting to participate. So I'll start with the person identified as David Harmson, LLC.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, my name is Dave Harmson. I am the civil engineer for the project. I believe we also have Miles from the architect who is the owner's representative.
Okay, so we'll probably start with Miles Walker and if necessary, turn to you for specific engineering information.
That would do it.
Excellent. And then I see a Hank Anderson. Do we know Hank Anderson's association?
I'm just part of the public and I'm observing land use in the area. So I'm just observing this project. Thank you.
Oh, actually, thank Mr. Anderson. Just to be clear, I didn't want to foreclose anyone from testifying on that first matter. Were you interested in testifying in relation to that first matter?
No, I had nothing for that. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Okay, so we'll get started on the second matter here in just one sec. And Ms. Lundgren, let me know when you are ready with your presentation.
Okay, I'm ready whenever you are.
Okay, so let me get, that would be this one. Yes, okay. Okay, and so for the record, again, it is July 28th of 2022. Here in Kitsap County with the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. And we're moving on to our second item on the agenda. And this is number 21-02379. And it involves a request for approval of a conditional use permit to allow the construction of a one-story, approximately 7,663 square foot medical clinic, which would specifically be used as a kidney dialysis center with capacity for treating 13 patients at a time. And this would be on three undeveloped lots totaling approximately 2 acres, I believe, off Dickey Road Northwest near the intersection there with Northwest Newberry Hill Road. For those that may not have heard earlier, my name is Andrew Reeves, serving as your hearing examiner today here in Kitsap County. And I won't repeat everything because I think most folks heard, but essentially collecting evidence to ensure that this proposal complies with the county's adopted plans and ordinances and the specific requirements for approval of a conditional use permit under the municipal code. So specific to this project, that's what I should have done earlier. I apologize, one sec, folks. Specific to this project, I believe I received 30 exhibits is the number. In advance of the hearing, yep, that is the number. And these include a staff report prepared by county staff, plan materials themselves, technical information about the site, including geotechnical report, information related to traffic, stormwater, the civil plans, landscape plans, other technical information of this type, information on the availability of utilities, information on the monument sign that's proposed, information on the environmental review that occurred under our state's Environmental Policy Act, including the DNS that was issued for that, and then information on the notice that was provided in relation to the application, as well as today's hearing and the staff presentation we are about to see. So I'm going to admit those 30 exhibits into the record. And as I stated at the earlier matter today, all testimony will be under oath or affirmation. And the order we're going to follow is first, we'll start with county staff, then we'll move to our applicant representative and their team. Then we'll see if there are members of the public interested in testifying. And if so, they'll have that opportunity. And then finally, we will go back to the applicant team and county staff to respond to any testimony if necessary. So with that, I already swore Carla Lundgren in earlier, but if you can just tell folks who you are again that might be watching these two matters separately, and then we can go ahead and have you get started.
All right, so I am Carla Lundgren. I am a planner here at DCD for the Kitsap County.
Great, thank you. All right. And did the 30 exhibits track with what you were hoping I would review in advance?
Yes, yes.
Right. Okay, go right ahead.
All right, thank you. So today I am presenting a conditional use permit, a type 3 permit for a medical clinic in the industrial zone. The site aerial on the next slide shows the location. There are actually three parcels here, so I've sort of underlined them in red so that you can sort of see the aerial picture there. So the project site is on off of Dickey Road Northwest and Northwest Newbury Hill Road in Silverdale. The notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21 Land Use and Development Procedures. One comment was received from the Department of Ecology indicating that a few questions on the CEPA checklist had been missed, and also to inform the applicant of a nearby contaminated site that is currently awaiting cleanup status. Pursuant to WAC 197-11-355, the Department of Community Development used the optional DNS process for this project. The CEPA comment period previously occurred concurrent with the notice of application dated September 17th, 2021. The Department of Community Development issued a determination of non-significance on July 1st, 2022 with one condition. The CEPA appeal period expired on July 15th, 2022. No appeals were filed, therefore the CEPA determination is final. Next slide shows the zoning map. There are three parcels owned by Puget Sound Kidney Center regarding this project. I've marked them all with a star. The site is within the industrial zone shown in blue. All three parcels are located in the Silverdale urban growth area. The properties to the west and south are zoned industrial and mineral resource overlay. The properties to the north are zoned industrial, and the properties to the east are zoned urban low residential. The zoning setbacks for these parcels established in Kitsap County Code Chapter 17-420 are 20-foot front setback to the west, 0-foot setback to the north and south, and a 50-foot setback to the east, that far east parcel. This proposal meets all the setback requirements. The critical area map, this project site is located in Category 1 critical aquifer recharge area. And the categorical use of clinic or medical clinic is not listed in the Kitsap County Table 19.600-620 as activities with potential threats to groundwater quality. And there are no other critical areas identified on these parcels. The site plan for the proposal shows access from Dickey Road Northwest. The project will require frontage improvements along Dickey Road and consist of a 14-foot travel lane and 6-foot sidewalks. The parcel to the east will remain undeveloped and contains a 30-foot wide utility easement running north and south near the center of the parcel with a gravel access road. The landscape plan on this slide. So pursuant to Kitsap County Code 17500, existing and native vegetation will fill the 20-foot setback with a 5-foot vegetation buffer around the perimeter of the building and the parking lot. To mitigate visual impacts of the abutting residential properties to the north of the project site, a 6-foot screening fence will be installed along the property line. The design criteria for this project. Some of these I've already covered in previous slides, so I will go through the ones that I have not. The lighting, the exterior lighting will be shielded from side view and directed downward. The off-street parking, so the code requires one parking spot per 200 square feet, which would be 38 parking stalls for a 7,663-foot square foot building. Excuse me, the applicant did submit a traffic analysis report that was conducted in March 2022 and proposes 36 parking stalls based on that traffic analysis report. And also per Kitsap County Code 17490-030A1, the director may provide a 25% reduction of the required parking. And so the county does support this proposal of 36 parking stalls.
Sure. Sorry to break in, but before I forget to ask about that specifically, obviously the code says that the director may provide for that reduction. Were I to approve this project, would I have the authority to essentially do that, or administratively the director then later would issue a decision? Or
yeah, the director would later issue the decision. So, and it is based on the traffic analysis report where it states, I believe it was like 2.09, you know, visits per chair or right. Spots needed. Yeah. So
I did review it, and I don't have concerns specifically about parking. I was just checking about the issue, but yeah, the applicant had a thorough information about that in relation to, you know, similar facilities in the region, et cetera. So, well, thank you for clarifying that.
You're welcome. There is signage proposed, however, that will be reviewed during the SDAP and the building permit, but there is a monument sign proposed north of the driveway. And I believe there's also a wall sign on the building as well, that will be part of the building permit review as well. So those will need to comply with Kitsap County Code 17510. We went over the landscaping in a previous slide, frontage improvements as well. The next slide continues with the design criteria. These parcels do not fall into a design district. The development engineer and stormwater will require a full drainage review per the 2016 Kitsap County Stormwater Design Manual. A site development activity permit is required, and there is currently one under review. And I included that permit number in the presentation. We've discussed the critical areas that environmental would be concerned with or reviewed. Access traffic and roads. There's a proposed 26-foot driveway off of Dickey Road. Fire safety, there is a fire station within a half a mile of the proposed, of the project site. There will be a dumpster provided on site with screening and landscaping. Water is provided by Silverdale Water District, and we do have the availability letters included in the exhibits, and Kitsap County Sanitary Sewer provides service for sewer. Kitsap Public Health did review, did a preliminary review and supports the CUP, and we'll have final approval during the building permit process. Finally, in the last slide, states that the department finds a proposal consistent with the comprehensive plan, compliant with the requirements of the Kitsap County Code and all other applicable regulations, compatible with the characteristics of the subject property and immediate vicinity, and not materially detrimental. The department recommends approval with 35 conditions included in the staff report. Thank you. Great,
thank you. I do have a few questions for
sure.
You. And I think we can stop sharing at this point. You noted that additional site development activity permit will be necessary, and that will be the more in-depth review by those with engineering expertise in terms of stormwater, et cetera. So I'm confident they'll look into this, and I will ask the applicant as well. But my understanding in terms of stormwater was that there's not great infiltration on the site itself. There's likely a vault that will ultimately be used, but some water I think is gonna sheet flow to that wooded eastern parcel that's not being developed. And I guess my only sort of concern is that if they wanted to do something on that parcel in the future, I think there's a disconnect there to the extent that I just ensure that someone has thought about it in terms of whether that's a site development permit or as part of the CUP. I think probably the site development permit, but I'm just bringing it up. But
right. And their civil engineer could probably address that when we get to that point there. If you look at the site plan, there is a retaining wall on the eastern property line between the property project site and the eastern parcel that may address that. And then that eastern parcel is heavily constrained with the 30-foot easement. And then also they've got a 50-foot setback because they abut the urban residential zone. So it would be heavily constrained as far as what they would be able to use it for development.
Got it. Not a whole lot likely going there. And is that the big PSE easement or the power line?
Utilities, yeah.
Okay. Oh. That's okay. Yeah, I just trying to visualize in my head. I think I know right where that is. But okay. That said, I guess the only other thing that really stood out to me, and again, it's not that I'm specifically concerned as much about this proposal, but you know, we did have a thorough traffic impact analysis that was prepared. And the concern I have is that there's information throughout that there's, you know, levels of service that are, substandard. I think there's an existing LOSF, at least at one intersection in the immediate vicinity. Am I correct in assuming A, that, the applicant is paying traffic impact fees and that is its contribution toward solving this, and B, that solving that LOSF is within the city's 6-year transportation improvement plan or TIP, and because of that the payment of impact fees is really the way in which the applicant contributes as opposed to some other
correct
bid. Is that all accurate? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's accurate. And the one condition that was included in the DNS is that the developer shall pay their proportionate share towards the Dickey Road, Newberry Hill Road, and Apex Road, Anderson Hill Road intersection improvements.
Oh, right. So that right. is actually site specific or improvement specific, and the applicant didn't appeal that.
Correct.
And I always get confused in Kitsap County because it's the only place I know they call it a DNS and then they have mitigation measures. So
right.
in my mind, it's an MDNS. I don't think it really matters for the law, but okay. So I think then that particular issue is addressed. So thank you for clarifying that. I just wanted to make sure it was noted. And again, it's not so much this specific project, it's the cumulative impacts of lots of projects in the area. You know, we worry about when things aren't, when there's no long-term plan, but here the county has addressed this through its TIP and through requiring payment of impact fees to fund project improvements that are needed. Okay, I think then, unless you had any further you wanted to add, Ms. Lundgren, we can move to our applicant representative.
All right, I have nothing further, thank you.
Okay, so with that, it was Miles Walker, I think, that was going to serve as our applicant representative.
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, thank you. And Mr. Walker, I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Thank you. And could you just state and spell your name for the audio recording?
Miles Walker, MilesWalker.
Thank you. And your specific role in relation to this project?
I'm the project manager for the PSKC in Silverdale.
For the PS, sorry, is that the Puget Sound Kidney Center, Silverdale, PSKC?
Yeah, Puget Sound Kidney Centers. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Thankfully, I am not as involved to the point where I know the acronym. And I say thankfully only because, you know, I know that dialysis, from my knowledge of it, is not something we all want to have to do. But with that, this is your opportunity to present any additional information you feel that myself or members of the public should be aware of, along with providing any clarifying information in relation to this project.
Well, I believe that all the information that Carla presented was accurate. And like she said, we are currently trying to develop in an industrial zone when it should be, you know, our building normally would go in a commercial zone. And we, our parcels, you know, to the north are directly abutted by residential properties that are also in the industrial zone. We are providing everything that we've been asked to provide by the county in terms of frontage improvements, ADA wheelchair access to the sidewalk from the site. We basically aren't even developing that third parcel, the one that goes through the Bonneville power line easement. We aren't even trying to develop that. We can fit our whole development within those two parcels that are closer to Dickey Road. And anything more than that, in terms of, especially in terms of stormwater, I'm sure Dave can enlighten you on how we're handling that with our vault and the level spreader that we have planned for the site.
Sure. Okay, the Bonneville power line, it is there, right? I said PSC, but I knew it was something large.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, and then in terms of, I will ask questions of your colleague here in one sec, but in terms of parking, my only question was, you know, multiple of the exhibits that were admitted, I believe, that were provided by your team and colleagues started at 46 spaces. Was there any major site design change, or was it ultimately following the traffic impact analysis, you guys determined that there was less of a need? So instead of, you know, more impervious, you know, you can have more vegetation, or just trying to track what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason that happened, we actually had, so the 46 stalls, there were additional stalls along the frontage of Dickey Road. And we got a comment back from the county that said we needed to observe that 20-foot front easement or setback. And so now all of that area that was parking is now going to be landscaped. So it's actually less, it's going to be more less impervious, but more landscaped area compared to what it was before. Now with 36 stalls, this site is, for our kidney center, is there's plenty of parking because the majority of these patients are ambulatory. Most of them are in wheelchairs and they don't even drive. So what happens is typically at their centers, they have a transit bus pick them up. And that's why you have this drop-off zone right in front of the building. and they get dropped off, and there's no cars that park there. Some people drive and park, but most of them. Yes?
I apologize for interrupting. Actually, I was going to ask if we could have Ms. Walston put up that site plan, because I think it'll help us visualize.
Absolutely, yeah.
Maybe. We're having tech issues apparently today. No, there we go. Perfect. I knew it wouldn't take her too long. I can tell you, I hold these hearings in a lot of places, and Kitsap County's tech is far superior to a lot of places that I do this in. Is this the, I think there's another one, or well, Mr. Walker, there. Go one more if you could, Amanda. I think it showed the landscaping and
The landscape plan. Yeah,
perfect. That's great. Okay. So you were saying, Mr. Walker.
So we have Dickey Road on the left side of the page. Yep. And that all that landscaping that is in the frontage setback is actually used to be parking. So now it's all going to be landscape. All the parking is going to be past that 20-foot setback. And now you have this drive lane that goes close to the building. So the buses or the little, you know, the transit buses for the patients will drive up to that, to the main entrance of the building and drop the patients off. They usually have a lift for all their wheelchairs or whatever they need. And then the transit bus exits the site and leaves. Perfect. So we have 36 spots for any additional patients that are going to be driving and for the staff.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. So thank you. And thank you, Ms. Walston, for putting that up. If you can just leave that up for a minute, I think I was going to ask the applicant's engineering just briefly about stormwater. But Mr. Walker, I did not want to cut you off if you had other thoughts you wanted to share before we move on to the engineering issue specifically.
I think that's about it for me.
Okay, and then real quick, you had an opportunity to review the staff report prepared by county staff?
Yes.
And any concerns or clarification related to the recommended conditions of approval that were in that staff report?
No, I don't believe so. I think we can meet all those.
Sure, and then you tracked my conversation with Ms. Lundgren about traffic impacts and the applicant's acknowledges that they have to comply with that mitigation measure of in SEPA in terms of contributing toward fixing that failing intersection in the area.
I did hear that, yes.
Sure, okay.
Can I ask again what intersection that is? Is that at Newberry Hill Road and Dickey Road?
No, I don't believe it is. And honestly, I don't have it in front of me.
It's Newberry Hill, Dickey, and the Apex Newberry Hill intersection.
Okay.
Yeah.
And to further clarify, the SEPA didn't require you as the applicant to specifically do work or specifically sort of pay to do work. It's a proportionate, you know, share that is specific to that intersection based on the average daily trips, or I think, or PM trips, one or the other. That's all. So just so we're clear about that, I'm not trying to confuse the issue. Is that traffic?
So, and that's included in the traffic impact fee?
I think ultimately they're separate, but Ms. Lundgren, can you speak to that?
I don't have an answer for you right now, Miles. I don't know if it's included. I'm not sure how Kitsap County calculates their impact fees and if that development requirement, your proportionate share. So
I have a thought, which is this. For one, the appeal period passed already for SEPA, so you know that's a non-issue in terms of nothing can be done with that. But what I would suggest is that, you know, my role in terms of this, the conditional use permit, is a little bit bigger picture and just trying to determine, is this the type of use that is appropriate in the area and won't have detrimental impacts? What I would suggest is I will make sure any findings or language and conditions in any decision I produce where this to be approved, sort of allows the wiggle room for you as the applicant to sort out with county staff the specificity as to how traffic impact fees are paid. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. So anything further than and to clarify, I think you had asked the question, clarifying question, the other conditions and everything else you saw, no concerns or worries in terms of complying with those recommended conditions of approval?
No.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Ms. Walker. So next, I just wanted to quickly ask our engineering experts and identified, I think, as David, and I didn't remember the last name from earlier, but we'll get him sworn in.
Yes, I am on the air.
Thank you. And do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Thank you. And can you just state and spell your name for the audio?
Yes, my name is David Harmsen, DavidHarmsen. I'm a professional engineer with Harmsen LLC and ready to answer the questions you pose.
Great, thank you. Fairly basic. I just, again, I recognize that you as the applicant have already, I believe, applied for your SDAP or site development permits, and that will be reviewed by those like you, but at the county with expertise on engineering. But, I do try to make sure our issue, when I see issues that I can see causing, complications in the future, I just like to make sure someone's thought about them. So what I was going to ask you about, Mr. Harmsen, was A, is my understanding, the stormwater being addressed on site, was that accurate to the extent that infiltration was determined not to be suitable for this particular site? So the applicant intends on using a stormwater detention vault. And then I think, as your colleague pointed out, there'll be a level spreader that essentially releases that water over to that eastern parcel that is not being developed. Is that an accurate?
Yes. So there was a geotechnical report prepared by Krizan Associates, and they detailed that the site was dense till at about 3 foot of depth. Compounding that is the slope of the site, such that the Puget Sound Kidney Center itself is, its eastern wall is being built 14 foot above native grades. So there are significant grades on site that are going to prevent the development of that eastern parcel. So that will remain wooded. As such, we are collecting all stormwater. It is being routed through an enhanced treatment, pre-manufactured filter system. Then it is being detained in a underground vault to the current flow duration standards, and then discharged via level spreader into the native vegetation.
Excellent. And I think you really stressed the idea that, based on the site constraints, especially slopes in the area, that third parcel, the easternmost parcel, is not intended for development. And so the issue I brought up is essentially a non-issue. Is that one way of thinking about it?
Yes. And even if it were developed by some means of other access, because it would not be able to be developed by access from Dickey Road. At that time, we would have to recollect that water and handle it in a new manner.
That's what I'm, want to make sure someone has put that on the record. I'll put it in my decision. I just, that's the exact issue I'm worried about and thinking about the future. But the applicant itself, I guess, understands that were it to, sell that third parcel to someone else, you as the property owner there would have certain obligations in terms of coming up with a different solution for stormwater in the future. Is that
that is true. As pointed out by the county planner, it is unlikely that there is significant room on that site to develop, not to mention the access issues.
Right. Okay, well, thank you. I think that, you know, I think you've addressed sort of making sure I grasped it all and what the plan was. And you acknowledged the idea that if something changed with the eastern parcel, obviously a different approach to what to do with the collected stormwater would be required. So I think that all makes sense to me. Did you have any other thoughts or comments related to engineering aspects of the project you wanted to share?
No, I've reviewed staff report and the conditions, and they are acceptable from an engineering standpoint.
Excellent. Okay, well, I think at this point then, we will check with our one member of the public to see if they were interested in testifying. Hank Anderson, were you interested in testifying on this project?
Yes, I have a comment from...
I'm going to swear you in.
Do
you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
Yes, I do.
And can you just state and spell your name for the audience?
Okay, my first name is Alan, A-L-A-N. My nickname is Hank, H-A-N-K. Last name Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. I'm a retired engineer, but my license, my registration in Washington and California remain current. And I'm a resident of the Silverdale area.
Okay.
Part I'm concerned is in the staff report, it says fire station is a half mile away. To my observation and supported, I believe, on the information on the Central Kitsap Fire and Rescue website, that location is the fire department's administrative building and the fire department's vehicle maintenance shop. I don't think it includes response equipment and personnel. The area for this project has, I think within about 5 miles, a couple of active fire stations, one on the Seebeck Highway and the other one in downtown Silverdale. A third one is under construction on Anderson Hill Road at Olympic View Road. So the extent to which it's pertinent to this project, I wonder if it should be re-verified by the staff, TCD staff planner. And I believe I also found this on another project not long ago. I'm not exactly sure now which project it was. It may have been a small housing development further north on Dickey Road.
Okay, so essentially, Mr. Anderson, just believing it, it would be useful to clarify this for the record, especially so that, you know, for other projects in the future too, that both county staff and applicants, you know, recognize that that particular station is an administrative and vehicle maintenance station and not, you know, should not be the station you use to calculate how long it would take for someone to respond in an emergency.
I believe that is so. Like I say, my observation is that this isn't a response location. If it turns out that it is, that'd be great. But then Fire and Rescue's website ought to reflect that.
Okay. Well, we will try to get more information. I'm not sure that Ms. Lundgren will know that right off the top of her head, but I think we should be able to get verification such that it can end up in my decision, and then we'll know for the future, and that particular issue shouldn't keep coming up.
Can I make a couple more comments?
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Anderson.
I'm a little surprised that this medical facility is being located so far away from the considerable medical facilities that are closer to Silverdale, but I wonder, you know, certainly the site is amenable to it, I believe, and the type of medical service certainly doesn't depend directly on being close to St. Michael Hospital or some of the other medical practitioners. And I wondered, by the arrangement of the building, is there some view that advantage is being taken, or are the trees on the eastern side a little too tall still?
I don't believe there would be, but I certainly at the end, I'm happy to let the applicant provide any additional information they have.
A few feet south of the site on Dickey Road is a excellent viewpoint over to the east. You can even see the tips of the Cascades. You can see a little bit of Dyes Inlet. You can see a little bit of Mount Rainier, as I recall. But that's also a spot where the tree line has dropped down a bit, allowing such a good view.
Okay. Any further thoughts or comments before?
No. Otherwise, it looks like a very interesting project, and it should continue, I think. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your thoughts and comments today, Mr. Anderson. With that, I'm just going to quickly turn back to Miles Walker to see if he had any response thoughts he wanted to share.
Yes. I'm not sure about the fire response, but I can tell you that this building is going to be equipped with an automatic sprinkler system.
There we go.
So I'm sure even a response from the city of Silverdale would be plenty of time. In addition to that, the viewpoint, I do believe, I've been out to the site, I do believe the trees are a little bit too tall to gain any kind of a view. But you know, we won't really know that until the site is developed or begins developing. So other than that, that's about all I had to add.
Sure. Let's see. Sorry. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Walker. At this point, I'm going to go back to Carla Lundgren and bit my tongue right there. Go back to Ms. Lundgren and see if she has any final thoughts on behalf of the county.
Yes, thank you. I did want to go back to the parking question that you had with the original site plan that was submitted, that the 20-foot front setback was originally filled with parking. And we did request that setback be honored and filled with landscaping instead. But I also wanted to point out that it was significantly overparked. And in the code, section 17490030A2, if there's a 10% or more of overparking, then they would have needed to apply for a variance. And so with the traffic analysis and the setback requirement, they didn't need 46 spots really. And so there was also that conversation about being overparked as well. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Great, thank you. And yeah, so I think I grasp all that. And in terms of the final thing we in terms of parking that you and I discussed earlier, you know, essentially either with the site development permit or building permits, probably site development permit, but that will be when the administrative decision by the director is signed off on for the reduced parking. But yes, I think makes perfect sense. If you don't need all those spaces, why have them? Especially if we can have, you know, a nice frontage there along the road. And then, so as a matter of course, in Kitsap County, we leave the record open one additional week when use of remote technology occurs. So what I would suggest is, it's a minor thing, but I think it's useful to clarify things when possible. Ms. Lundgren, if you can just reach out to whomever or ask someone there at staff that might know in terms of that issue brought up by Mr. Anderson, whether or not that fire station or identified as a fire station is an active fire station. I'll make sure we get it into my decision in my findings one way or the other, so that we have that issue, not that it's an issue, but so that information is clear for both this project and future projects.
Okay, absolutely. Yep.
Okay, I don't believe there was anything else. Did you have anything final you wanted to touch on before we close the record today?
No, I have nothing further. Thank you.
Excellent. So again, as a matter of course, the record does get left open a week. And just to clarify for the applicant, if they haven't run into this before, the idea being we're not leaving the record open so that the floodgates are open for more thoughts or comments. It's specifically for folks, you know, that intended on participating in the hearing, but were unable to sort out technology, et cetera. And it's sort of a stopgap measure, which I tend to think is a good idea. But in this instance, if someone, you know, contacted either Ms. Lundgren or Ms. Walston and said, hey, I really tried to sign on and wasn't able to, we would allow them to submit written comments in lieu of public testimony. I think in these circumstances, highly unlikely, but that is something we do. And then we're also going to end up, I think, with one additional exhibit. We would make it exhibit 31, which would just be the clarifying information about Kitsap Fire or East Fire and Rescue. No, Kitsap Fire and Rescue, I think. But that would be the totality of the record. And then just to clarify, once my decision is issued, how will folks like Mr. Anderson and the applicants end up receiving that decision, Ms. Lundgren or Ms. Walston? Doesn't bother me. Whoever wants to tell us.
So once the decision is received, I'll prepare a notice of decision that'll be distributed, be posted on our website. I'm not sure, but I believe Mr. Anderson is already an interested party for this. Okay. So that'll be sent directly to him. So he'll get a copy of that. Okay. And if anybody else has any questions, they can always check in with the county or speak with me and I can direct them to the right place.
All right. I think then ultimately I have everything I need. I will let the applicant know. I don't often get to do this, but I have, you know, reviewed the record. And based on my review of the record and all the testimony I heard today, it is my intent ultimately to issue a decision approving this request for a conditional use permit with, generally speaking, the conditions that have been recommended by staff. I reserve the right, obviously, to change my mind, but I do when I'm able to. I like to give folks a heads up and then also note that, you know, the conditions, I might tweak the wording or something, you know, just to ensure that if there's any concerns that I see that they're addressed in advance. But like I said, I thank you to those that participated. Thank you for the applicants and their team for being here to answer my questions and clarify things. Thank you to members of the public that participated, and thank you to county staff. So I think we have a way forward and we can conclude our hearing today. And that is the last item on the docket. And that wraps up today's session of the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.